One thing that I think people need to understand about Amazon is the customer is the most important thing to Amazon. You know, there's a bunch of players in the Amazon ecosystem. There's publishers such as ourselves. There's vendors. Maybe there's some other specialist suppliers or service providers. And then there's the customers who buy things on Amazon. Amazon prioritizes customer needs above publisher needs and other types of sellers as well. And I think you have to understand that they're not really worried so much about what you think about the platform, but is what their customers think about the platform.
Hello, and welcome again to Inside Independent Publishing with IBPA. I'm an independent publisher and your host, Peter Goodman. What follows here is part two of our interview with Ian Lamont of i30 Media explaining all about Amazon. In the first part, which you can easily find either by an online search or through your subscription, Ian talked at length about Amazon advertising and KDP print. Be sure and listen to that podcast to learn some of the tips and cautions Ian's got for you that he's accumulated over the years. Now, in this part two, we're picking up the conversation at the point where Ian is talking about what Amazon demands of its vendors and whether it always plays fair. Amazon being so big and most of its customers or its vendors being so small, it has an enormous amount of power in the marketplace. A lot of people think it's a bully. A lot of people think it's the greatest thing there for them getting their books into their market. I'm sure it's kind of a mixed bag. And since Ian, you've been dealing with Amazon for quite a while, you probably have a pretty good sense of where publishers stand. What's your overall impression of Amazon and how well it treats its partner publishers?
Right. So one thing that I think people need to understand about Amazon is the customer is the most important thing to Amazon. So there's a bunch of players in the Amazon ecosystem. There's publishers such as ourselves. There's vendors. Maybe there's some other specialist suppliers or service providers. And then there's the customers who buy things on Amazon. Amazon prioritizes customer needs above publisher needs and other types of sellers as well. And I think you have to understand that is that they're not really worried so much about what you think about the platform, but as what their customers think about the platform. And because they have so many customers, I've read that they more than half the households in the United States have an Amazon account, maybe even an Amazon Prime account. They have enormous power. So they know that even if a publisher gets fed up with using Amazon and says, you know, I'm leaving, I'm never going to work with Amazon again, there's, you know, 10 more that are, you know, willing to step right in and to fill the gap. So they're not so worried so much about what we think. They mainly care about what customers think.
Well, that sort of means that publishers don't have any leverage at all.
I'm kind of sad to say that, but we don't have a lot of leverage. And sometimes we've seen campaigns that publisher groups or author groups have started or some of the larger publishers have started and say that what Amazon's doing is not right. And Amazon doesn't really back down. And sometimes they don't really seem to care that much at all. And one example is the IBPA's Buy Box campaign. And this was a really well thought out issue. And basically what Amazon did is they opened up the Buy Box on a product detail page. That's the part on the Amazon product detail page which says buy this item or add it to your cart. They open that up to third-party sellers. And IBPA rightly pointed out that, you know, how can somebody claim to have a new book automatically get that particular box because the book may not be new. It may be an extra copy that somebody has, a legitimate new copy to sell, but in many cases it might not be new. Or it might be, you know, it could come from another source such as ARCs or even pirated books. And Amazon, you know, I hate to say it, they pretty much ignored that particular campaign. And publishers such as myself were starting to feel the pain. I've actually had some incidents in the past month or so where third-party sellers are winning the buy box, but they're not selling new books. I ordered one book from one of these sellers who was supposedly selling a new copy of LinkedIn in 30 Minutes by author Angela Rose. That's a book that we publish. And the book that I was sent was a used book. It even had a sticker that the seller had put on it that says used. And yet they were selling it as new, and they were taking away a new sale from me. So Amazon, and I complained to Amazon about this particular seller. Nothing happened.
But at some point, someone bought that book from you at some point, right? So while they may be pretending that it's a new book, you have in effect already been paid for it. So are they really stealing from, are they stealing a sale from you, or are they just, you know, basically selling a used book?
So what's happening there is a book is being sold as new twice to two different people. And what should have happened right there was the book should be sold new one time and then used a second time. And then the other buyer who would have bought the new book, that sale will come to me.
Right.
So I see that as a situation where this seller, by misrepresenting what he or she had, was actually taking away profit from me. And this happens, I'm guessing, thousands of times every day. And I looked at the seller's profile and all the reviews that he or she has, and other people have pointed out similar things. And for some reason, the seller is still able to kind of continue doing business as usual, and it's hurting publishers such as ourselves, who want to, you know, of course we want to let people who do have legitimate new copies sell them, but we don't want situations where people are selling used copies as new, which is exactly what happened here.
What about other things that are like maybe hidden costs of sales? Amazon says we'll buy the book from you at, you know, whatever discount. Are there other fees? Like, do you have to pay the shipping to Amazon or from Amazon if they overstock or get a return or something?
Yeah, so I use a program called Amazon Advantage to sell books that I print using offset printing or specialized digital printers to get them made available in Amazon warehouses. And a couple times I've been in situations where Amazon Advantage, they use some sort of algorithm to determine how copies are ordered. And the algorithm orders too many. And then, you know, I basically have a lot of inventory sitting in Amazon's warehouse someplace, not generating sales. And there's also the issue that I have to pay for shipping. So one thing I really don't like with this particular program is sometimes there's Amazon, they'll just order like one copy of a book for, you know, over several weeks, they'll order one copy of a book each time. And I'm losing money on every copy I'm sending there because the shipping costs more than the margin I'll be able to make on the book. So there's all these other hidden costs you have to keep in mind. Amazon advertising, of course, is a huge expense too. And people spend a lot of money on that. They have to consider that that's a cost of doing sales on Amazon.
And there's no way of you like saying, no, I won't fill single title orders.
You know, I was for the Amazon Advantage program, I was about to pull out of that program just because of that particular issue and some other things that were going on. And then what I did is kind of as a last throw up my hands type of tactic to see if I could change something, I just increased the price of the type of product that I was selling on there. I was selling these kind of low cost cheat sheets for technology users, kind of like a quick reference chart that they could use to you know, get up to speed on whatever software package you're using. I increased the price from $5 to $7, and that turned things around. Amazingly, it didn't really affect sales that much, I think because the price is already so low, and all of a sudden I was getting a margin on it that made it acceptable for me to keep going on that program. So there are levers that you can pull. But at the end of the day, some people may feel that Amazon might not be working out for them, and they can stop sales of a certain product, or you know, decide to increase the pricing or do something else, and that's perfectly fine. So fortunately, there's some flexibility that publishers have to kind of take their destiny into their own hands, and I encourage other publishers to do that.
Are there occasions when Amazon will refuse to work with a publisher or even close their account?
Yeah, so that brings up a pretty big topic that relates to Amazon's terms of service. And sometimes you'll hear the term used TOS, that means terms of service. And Amazon has actually several terms of service for different programs that are available to publishers. And it's very important for you as a publisher to understand what those terms are and to not violate them. Because if you violate them, maybe inadvertently, you can get your account suspended, and it's kind of a big deal to fix that particular problem. You know, one thing I want to say before I talk about Amazon terms of service and, you know, what you should do is what I'm going to say is these are my opinions based on my experience and observation over many years. I do not represent Amazon, but will be citing their terms of service and hopefully help you understand them better And it's also important to note that terms of service change all the time. And I can mention a couple examples of that, but it's important for you as a publisher just to know what the most recent terms are, because by the time you hear this podcast, you know, it might be months or even a few years later, and some things may have changed. So one thing that trips up people when they are selling on Amazon using one of their programs is that there's several terms of services, and sometimes they aren't quite in sync. And I'll give you an example. When you're creating advertising on Amazon advertising, you can use competitor keywords. So like, let's say that you sell horror books on Amazon. When you create an Amazon ad, you can use keywords like Stephen King or The Shining or something like that in your campaign. However, you cannot use competitor keywords in Amazon KDP. It's against their terms of service. So you really have to be aware of those differences. Sometimes also I've seen customer service in one group telling me it's okay to do something that another group would say, no way, you should not do that because it would violate the terms of service. So, you know, you have to really be aware of what those differences are. If you go into Amazon's terms of services for Amazon KDP, for instance, they will say, quote, we may suspend your program account at any time with or without notice to you for any reason in our discretion, end quote.
Oh.
I mean, that's pretty serious and sounds pretty scary. And I'm sad to say that this happens frequently. You know, it doesn't happen to everybody, but I've heard enough horror stories of people getting their account suspended for me to, you know, I tread pretty carefully with their terms. Here's a couple things that you can't do. We may remove all or any part of your book's cover art for any reason, including if we determine that it does not comply with our content requirements. Now, they don't explain what content requirements are, but this does tie into things like copyright or suitability for certain audiences and things like that. And unfortunately, in those cases, you may not know that you're even going against their content requirements until they say, oh, we've withdrawn that book because it violates our content requirements. And then you have to figure out, you know, what exactly that you did wrong. The other big one is Amazon's community guidelines. So basically this relates to reviews, and this is really a sensitive issue for a lot of publishers because, of course, when you publish a book, you need to have reader reviews on the product page. So readers can see what other readers have said. But what's happened is a lot of kind of dodgy services have sprung up, or people are asking friends or relatives to post reviews on their behalf. That's all against Amazon's terms of service and their community guidelines. And that can get you into trouble, and it can cause lots of other problems too. It leads to weird situations. For instance, competitors going to another product page and leaving negative reviews on something, and that's against terms of service too. But Amazon has to catch them in order to stop it. So there's all these rules, and it's hard to keep track of them all. But I really do urge everyone listening to this podcast to just spend maybe 10 or 15 minutes looking at the terms of service for the programs that you participate in. Usually, yes, there's some legal boilerplate that's confusing, but the main things are usually pretty clearly stated. I've just given a couple examples there. Maybe print it out, highlight those things so you understand them. And if you need to, talk with your publishing lawyer, your legal counsel, about some of the things that might be problematic or some of the issues that you may need to work through, either with your authors or with your suppliers or with your designers or whatever, to make sure that you're not in violation of the terms of service.
So, I mean, one of the takeaways is don't just put your book up on Amazon and forget it and think that everything is moving along just fine. Be very alert to how things are changing and what Amazon is doing, but also what you might be able to do. I remember a year or so ago, they had a wonderful program that we as a publisher use quite a bit called the Vine program, where you could make a certain number of copies available, send them to Amazon, they would send them out to reviewers, and you know, these were legitimate reviewers, and they would eventually put their reviews on Amazon underneath your book. They didn't discontinue it, but they went from free to about $1,500 to $3,000 in order to participate in it, which kind of killed it for the little guy. Are there any programs like that now where it's, I mean, you talked about not being able to you know, kind of game the reviewing system by getting your mother and your friends and everything to review it. What are some ways that you can get reviews? It's not good to just passively wait and hope things turn out for the best. Are there any ways that you can kind of not goose the system so much, but provide books through something like Goodreads or some or any other programs?
Yeah, so there are a couple approaches to getting reviews, legitimate reviews on your site. And as you noted, the programs that Amazon has had in the past, they have been changing. So Vine was something that used to be huge. As you noted, the price went up to like $1,500 or something, which is out of reach for many people. And it also seems that they're scaling them back. Like, I don't see as many Amazon Vine reviews as I used to, and that might be because of the cost, or it might be because of something else. So here are some ways, legitimate ways to get reviews on Amazon. One of them is you can have an ARC program, these advanced copies that you send out to reviewers. What the reviewer has to do, though, is they have to disclose in the review that they received a copy of this book in order to make a review, and you cannot give them any other type of compensation in order for them to do the review. You cannot ask them to give only a 5-star review. You can only say, you know, please give your honest review when this book is published, and please disclose the fact that you received a free publisher copy. So that's one way to do it. I know that many publishers do that. Peter, you mentioned Goodreads. That is an Amazon-owned community of book readers. They have something called a Goodreads giveaway, and this is now a paid product. So you have to pay some money. I think it's between $100 and $200 or something basically they make a little contest available for people to ask to get a free copy of the book. The people who get the free copies of the book, they are not obliged to review the book at all. You can send a message with your book saying, you know, I hope you have some time to give your honest review on Goodreads or Amazon later on when the book is published, but there's no guarantee. And I've actually found that the success rate for using Goodreads in the past few years has not been that good. There's a couple interesting things you can do if you have an Amazon seller account and you have listings of your books through the seller account. And this could be because you have maybe some extra used copies or returns that you're trying to sell, and you can use Amazon Seller to do that. Or you're selling something that's a book-related product, but it's technically not a book, and you're using Amazon Seller to do that. And I do both of those things, by the way, with my Amazon Seller account. So the first thing you can do is you can actually contact buyers to ask for feedback. So if somebody buys a book through your Amazon Seller account, you can use their Amazon's online form to contact them. It won't give you their real email address. It'll just give you some obfuscated email, Amazon email, and then it will transfer to them. So that's one thing you can do. Unfortunately, I think Amazon's starting to phase out that particular program. But fortunately, there's another program that they've introduced recently to Amazon sellers, and it's called the Early Reviewer Program. And you may start to see this on Amazon because the reviews that participate, they're highlighted, Amazon Early Reviewer Program. And basically what it is you pay Amazon $60, and Amazon will try to help you get up to 5 reviews for a product that's just been released, as long as it has less than five reviews already. And what they do is they incentivize people to review books by, I think, offering them a small gift card or something like that. Like worth $1 or $2 or something. And then some of them respond and they leave a review, and then it will show up as a review on your page.
Well, that's interesting. But you have to have an Amazon seller account to do that. That wouldn't be available to a...
You do have to have an Amazon seller account.
Right. Wouldn't be available to like a publisher with a distributor.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure how it works for people who use distributors. So this is something that I do. I have an Amazon professional seller account. And that costs $40 per month, but it's pretty important to my business because I sell some non-book products through Amazon. And I'm able to use those particular features, connecting with buyers directly to ask for feedback, and also the Early Reviewer Program.
Well, okay. So in conclusion, Ian Lamont, Amazon good or bad?
I'm going to say it's mostly good. I just have to roll with it. So yeah. I think most of the time, there's opportunities to grow your business on Amazon, but there are a lot of drawbacks. Some policies are actually totally skewed against people, publishers, and other sellers on Amazon, And unfortunately, there's all too many stories of people who inadvertently or innocently get caught up in something on Amazon. They get accused of doing something that they're not, like you've been posting false reviews and it's totally not true. And trying to get yourself out of that mess can really drag you down. So there's a bunch of tactics you can use when you have some sort of account takedown. I don't know if we have enough time to go into them, but one thing I did want to mention is one way that you can kind of bypass the bureaucracy if you're having a really tough time dealing with Amazon is actually sending an email to jeff@amazon.com. Jeff probably will not read it, but he has a big executive services team who do monitor the email that are sent to him. And sometimes it can help you kind of get the ice flows unstuck and the water moving again, and hopefully find some resolution to the problem that you're dealing with.
Well, that's interesting. I remember hearing tales of people sending mail or a mail to Steve Jobs and actually getting a response from Steve himself. So maybe Jeff is following that mold.
Yeah, maybe.
Is there anything else on the horizon that looks like it might be a good competitor to Amazon, like a Walmart or something like that?
Yeah, for a long time, hoping that somebody else will kind of, you know, be able to compete effectively with Amazon for people who are selling books. And at first I was hoping either Apple or Google, they would use their ebook platforms to really compete strongly with the Kindle. And unfortunately they haven't. And then also I've been hoping that a physical seller will pop up that can help people selling books. And there have been a couple interesting ideas out there, Jet.com, Walmart, they open a marketplace to third-party sellers. But the problem usually is either the bureaucracy is too much to get through. For instance, that's the case with Walmart. They don't want to hear from you unless you're a publisher of a certain size. Marketplace itself doesn't have many users. So even if you do get set up easily, it's really hard to get many sales on it. And then I think the third thing that really hurts a lot of companies out there is they just don't have enough resources to devote to improving their technology. And one thing, the example I always like to point to is Apple. And at one time, the iPad, the iBooks app on the iPad for reading eBooks was vastly superior to the Kindle. But while Apple's kind of let that languish pretty much, they've only had a couple relatively minor updates in the past 5 years. You know, Amazon has been moving full steam ahead with Kindle, not just the devices, but also the kind of the platforms that support it and the different programs that both customers, readers, and also publishers can participate in. And I think unless a new company is really ready to put some serious resources into it, it's going to be Amazon is going to continue to dominate.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. They're so far ahead now in terms of, well, as you were saying, the interface, user convenience, pricing, delivery, reach, et cetera. It's almost impossible to think that anyone could catch up. And if we're just talking about books, you know, there are plenty more profitable things, I think, for a Walmart or whatnot to be dealing with than just books. And I'm not even sure how much money Amazon makes from books and whether it's just a kind of a big loss leader to bring people in to buy toilet paper and toner cartridges. I'm not really sure, but it's so vast. Well, you've given us a lot to think about and many, many details. Now, if you're listening to this podcast in February, March of 2019, just want to let you know that Ian Lamont is going to be at IBPA's Publishing University it's in Denver, right?
No, it's in Chicago this year.
Chicago, sorry. I was thinking of something else. It's going to be in Chicago in early April, and he's going to be doing his famous Amazon deep dive there. He's going to get all wet in front of everybody. So make sure you check that out. If you are listening after that, well, just be sure you come to PubU in following years, and Ian will be there and a lot of other speakers talking about lots of facets of independent publishing. Ian, thanks very much for spending all this time talking to us about Amazon. I know there's a lot more to say. But we'll hear from you again, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so. And also just for the listeners, even if you're not going to PubU, I have some free videos and blog posts about Amazon and some of the things I've been talking about. They're available at leanmedia.org. And but I do hope to see you at PubU. And if you have questions about Amazon, I'll definitely be happy to answer them there.
Great. And we'll put all that information in the podcast notes. Thanks very much, Ian.
Thank you, Peter.
Once again, that was Ian Lamont of i30 Media, currently a board member and treasurer of IBPA. As mentioned, Ian will be at this year's PubU in Chicago, giving an Amazon deep dive where he'll talk about all that he's already mentioned in our two podcasts, plus a lot more. Don't miss it. But if you do, or if you're listening after PubU in April 2019, make sure you come to next year's PubU. You can also read Ian's blog about the publishing industry at leanmedia.org/blog. And be sure to check out all the benefits of IBPA if you're a member. If you're not a member, consider joining. You can visit the IBPA website at ibpa-online.org. Now, I usually conclude these podcasts with a brief bit of pontificating commentary about the subject at hand, but I think what Ian has said speaks for itself and has generously filled up the time. I'll get around to my own thoughts about Amazon and my ongoing love-hate relationship with them in some future show. Thanks for listening to Inside Independent Publishing with IBPA. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or other popular podcast platforms. I'm your host, Peter Goodman, and as my bosses in Japan used to say, let's have publishing fun.